live, coast to coast, and around the world. From high atop Shepherd's Mountain, the doctor is in. It's the Saturday edition of the Dr. Carroll Show, an hour you don't want to miss, and a great way to change your day, including your body, your mind, and your soul. Hang tight, get ready to call, and just enjoy as the Dr. Carroll Show starts right now.
Good afternoon to everyone, or good morning to you, I would assume, probably wherever you might be today. It's good to have you with us today on the Dr. Carroll Show Weekend Edition, here, of course, on Family Talk on Sirius XM, Channel 131, I guess it is. It's kind of brand new to us, a couple of weeks in. We get some calls from folks out there that appreciate it. We appreciate you so very, very much. We'll be giving you the phone numbers often today. It's 888-537-2276. That's 888-5-DR-CAROL. That's right, 888-537-2276. It's toll-free around the country or around the world, so don't hesitate to give us a call with a problem or whatever have you. It's a show to make you feel better and help you feel better, I should say, in your body, mind, and soul. The young lady that makes all this possible here on Shepherd's Mountain is Dr. Carroll.
Good Saturday to you. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you are. And welcome to this hour on Family Talk 131, a packed hour today. Our first guest, Dr. Phil Rowe, congressman from the 1st District of Tennessee, will be joining us in a couple of moments. You are probably hearing a lot about what's going on with healthcare, and it's been rather hot recently. Medicare, Obamacare, health insurance. Will a doctor see you? How much is it going to cost? Will you have health insurance? And if you're a senior, will a doctor be able to see you on Medicare? Those are some questions that I know affect our personal family. We know what that's like, and they probably affect you too. Dr. Rowe joins us in just a couple of minutes.
Dr. Rowe, of course, 1st District of the great state of Tennessee. He's on the Veterans Affairs Committees and also Education and the Workforce Committees as well. He's also been awarded the Guardian Award by the National Federation of Independent Businesses. He's an excellent person to talk about what's going on, and also, too, he is committed to what we're doing. He's also, we call him Dr. Rowe because he is. He's an OBGYN, so he and Dr. Carroll do have a lot to talk about. Second half hour today, we'll be talking with our friend Ron Deal, and his organization is called Smart Step Families, Dr. Carroll.
He's an author, a speaker, and a blended family expert. His brand new book, Dating and the Single Parent, is on its way out. And if you call us during his portion of the program, you just may get a copy of that book. How can you smartly blend families? You know, when children are involved, there's always some extra challenges. How can you do that well? What are some red flags that you need to be alert to? And what can you think about in advance to make it go better?
You know, his new book, Dating and the Single Parent, it's very difficult. We know that, and Ron will have some input for that. It's brand new. It's just out. You can pre-order it on Amazon if you'd like, or you can get a book today. We got one in the mail this week. We're going to give it away to someone today if you call us during that particular segment today with a question for Ron. Now, he'll be glad to answer those today. Dating and the Single Parent, there's so many folks that, of course, are single, over 50% now, okay, that do have children that are looking to find that perfect match. And I know it's difficult.
Oh, is there a perfect match? That may be one question we'll ask him.
Boy, I don't know. 7 Steps to a Healthy Living. He also does that. Smart Parenting. That's right. Smart Step Families with Ron Deal. All that in the second half hour today, Dr. Carroll. Want to remind you, too, to visit Dr. Carroll's website, drcarrollshow.com. drcarrollshow.com. You'll find a host and bevy of information there. You'll also have opportunities to join up for the monthly newsletter that is beginning to come out from Totally Free Ministries, a ministry that was founded by Dr. Carroll in 2006. We're all members here. We want you to be a member as well. You can get that in your inbox, or you can get it in your mailbox, can't they, Dr. Carroll?
If you give us a call here at the studio, 888-537-2276, Michael will be glad to take your name and mailing address, and you'll get it in the mail this week. Or you can go to drcarrollshow.com, click on the Totally Free Ministries logo, input your email address there, and you'll get it free in your inbox in the next 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and we want to say hi to Michael. Hello, Michael. How are you today, buddy?
I'm well.
Well, good. We got a packed hour today, so stay with us, okay?
Awesome.
Want you to do that, eh? It's that time of day that we'd like to give you something very, very special from us to you. Here we go.
We all believe that natural is better, but you need to know the science behind it. Here's Dr. Carol to explain it all in this week's edition of Keeping It Natural.
Still there happy as can be, doing what comes naturally, doing what comes naturally.
You've probably heard a lot of news about vitamin D. Where can it be beneficial, and how commonly do you have a vitamin D deficiency? Especially among women with menstrual disorders or who are trying to get pregnant, vitamin D may be particularly important. There is evidence that vitamin D deficiency has been associated with insulin resistance, ovulatory and menstrual problems, and even possibly lower success with pregnancy. The evidence about where vitamin D supplementation can improve these problems is less clear, but it is becoming more and more important that patients with low vitamin D have a number of reproductive problems. If you are trying to get pregnant or have particular menstrual irregularities or problems, it's especially worth talking with your doctor and be sure that your blood vitamin D level is above 20. That's the level where these studies showed a particular association with menstrual problems. So, if you struggle with menstrual disorders or infertility, talk with your doctor about having your vitamin D level checked. And if it's low, some extra vitamin D may help. That's Keeping It Natural for this week.
Still there happy as can be, doing what comes naturally, doing what comes naturally.
Making a difference in your life with one phone call at a time. The Dr. Carol Show will be right back.
Dr. Carol will be back with her guest, medical news highlights for the week, your phone calls, and more at 1-888-5-DR-CAROL. 1-888-537-2276. We've got a lot more in store, so please stay here.
The opinions expressed by Dr. Carol and others on the Dr. Carol Show are not intended to diagnose or treat any condition or illnesses or to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. The Dr. Carol Show asks that if you need medical care, now or in the future, please contact your own personal physician.
Because we care. Brought to you by the Dr. Carol Show.
Looking for the best all-you-can-eat buffet for only $1.99? Come to Big Ed's Chow House. But if you're looking for Big Ed, don't come to Big Ed's Chow House. Big Ed passed away last week at 47, leaving his wife and children struck down in his prime by the same disease that got his father, so he won't be around for his family. And sadly, it could have been detected early with a simple test, but Big Ed didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical test you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Because we care for you, this has been brought to you by the Dr. Carol Show.
Making this portion of the Dr. Carol Show possible today is our good friends at Cedar Springs Austin Eating Disorder Treatment Center. The experienced and caring staff at Cedar Springs offers help for men and women, adolescents and adults, with every form of eating disorder that we know of, including anorexia, bulimia, binge eating, and even more. Contact them today. Don't do it alone. 877-755-2244. Or just go online, cedarspringsaustin.com. Call them today, Cedar Springs Austin's Eating Disorders Treatment Center. And let them know you appreciate them being a part of our program.
Welcome back. The telephone lines are now open, and Dr. Carol will take your call at 888-5-DR-CAROL. That's 1-888-537-2276. Again, 1-888-5-DR-CAROL. Changing lives, one phone call at a time.
We welcome you back. It's about 15 minutes after the hour today, and being with us to talk to us from Washington, D.C. is something that's on everybody's mind one way or another, healthcare or what's going on, of course, in the Middle East, and it's a mess. to say the least. But Dr. Carroll, we're honored to have this gentleman today, a good friend of ours from the great state of Tennessee.
Dr. Michael Burgess was originally scheduled. He had other commitments. We are very honored that Dr. Phil Rowe, congressman from the 1st District of Tennessee, is joining us. Dr. Rowe is an OBGYN physician, something he and I share and is very close to my heart. Welcome, Dr. Rowe, to the Saturday edition of the Dr. Carroll program.
Well, I think it's appropriate. Thanks, Dr. Carroll, for having me. It's appropriate to have one OBGYN doctor replacing another OBGYN doctor, my good friend Mike Burgess, and I appreciate you having me on this morning. Also, thanks for having the banjo play Cripple Creek, which is a song on the banjo we're very used to hearing here in the mountains east of the sea.
Dr. Rowe, Medicare has become a very hot topic in the current political environment. Many people are concerned. I know it affects our family personally. Al is on Medicare. I know many of our listeners are also concerned about some of the talk that's out there. What are some of the main issues going on with the political controversies in Medicare right now?
I think, Dr. Carroll, the hardest thing to do is to get factual information and not get just what you see are talking points. And the thing I talk about, it's when you see the ad where at the point, I think it was last year when Paul Ryan was dumping Granny off the cliff.
That's
funny, and it's humorous and all, but it's not factual. And what it's hard in a one-minute soundbite to sit down and say, these are the facts. Senator Coburn from Oklahoma and myself and several others have put together 10 facts on Medicare. And you can go to my website or Dr. Coburn's website and get this information. And this is all footnoted information. These are not opinions of us, political opinions. These are facts as best we can determine them. And the facts are this. If you don't do anything to Medicare, if you just leave it alone as it is going bankrupt. There's not enough money in the system to provide the promised services. Now, as everyone knows, when you pay taxes and you look at your W-2, you pay your employer pays 1.45% and you pay 1.45%, 2.9%, almost 3% of your total paycheck goes for premiums to support Medicare. Now, I talked to Doug Holtz-Eakin, who was a previous CBO director, at length about this, and premiums would have to at least double to get the premium up to where it would even be in the black. Last year, fact, Medicare spent $288 billion, that's with a B, more than it took in premiums. And the average person who pays in, this is not everyone, so you can't say what an individual did, but on average, a person pays in a little over $100,000 in their lifetime in premiums, but at the end of their life, have collected over $300,000 in benefits. So we have to do something to change a system that's going to fail. And we've talked about this on your show many times before. The Affordable Care Act, initially we thought it was 500 and something billion that was taken out of Medicare and used on another health care entitlement, the Affordable Care Act or so-called Obamacare. But it looks like the real number is over $700 billion. Here's the other problem with that we've talked about. We're, and me being one of them, I'm on Medicare now, are at the front end of this huge tidal wave of baby boomers who are retiring at age 65, 10,000 of us per day. So 3.5 million people per year are chasing, in the next 10 years, 35 million more people are chasing $700 billion less dollars. So we have to make some changes.
There's got to be. I mean, as you give those numbers, the B's just kind of overwhelm you. These are billions of dollars that Medicare is, quotes, losing every year. The money is just not keeping up. There's another side to this, too, Dr. Rowe. I am hearing that the numbers of physicians that are concerned about their ability to continue to see Medicare patients really is increasing. And although most physicians still do accept Medicare, the numbers are creeping up of those that say, we just can't afford it anymore. And that is not looking like it's getting any better.
Yeah, so that our patients understand, Dr. Carroll, Medicare, there's a very complex formula that Medicare has about how they pay physicians. And physicians have costs to keep their doors open and their practices open and their employees paid and so forth. And in the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, 15 years ago, there was a formula put out called the Sustainable Growth Rate about how we're going to pay physicians. I'm not going to go through all of it. It's a very complicated formula, but needless to say, it's tied to inflation and medical inflation and growth of GDP and other things. But the doctors are scheduled at the end of this year to absorb a 27% cut in an already underfunded. The Medicare pays less than their private patients pay right now. If they get essentially a third cut, they won't be able to accept us as patients. They can't afford to. So we have to do something. That's another part that was left undone with the Obamacare plan, was nothing was done on physician payments. We're still left with that problem. And I can assure you, Dr. Mike Burgess, myself, and Dr. Price and others are working on that as we speak. We get together each week in Washington, a group of us do, to work on these very issues, depending on how the election goes. So that's a huge issue. And I spoke at the University of Colorado about 2 weeks ago. Instead of going to the convention, I went out and spoke there. And I looked at some medical students there. And it was very concerning to me because they have an uncertain future right now. They're coming out with huge debts. They see their payments going down, and I don't know how we're going to continue to be able to get the great young people that we need in medicine continuing to go into medicine and put these years of training in when they don't know what their future is going to be.
Dr. Rowe, let's talk about solutions for a couple minutes. What are some particular things you think we should do to fix Medicare? We've got only about 2 or 3 minutes left in our segment.
I'll very quickly go with this. I think you're going to have to use whether it's a variation of the Wyden-Ryan plan, which has been discussed now for over 20 years. This is really not new. This was discussed back in the early 90s. And think of it like this. When I turned 65, nothing happened to me other than I just had a birthday. But all of a sudden now I'm an entirely different health care plan. I've got a Medicare Part A and a Part B and a Part C and a Part D. The day before I just had a health plan that had benefits for my drug prescriptions, for my doctor visits, for my testing that I have, and if I had to go to the hospital. That's basically what we're saying with the premium support plan. When you turn 65 years of age, the government, the federal government that you paid into all these years, is going to pay a part of your premium. You will pay part of it based on what your income is. So a higher-income senior, Dr. Carroll, like yourself or me, I'm going to pay more of that, and then you, as the consumer, get to pick what is the right plan for you. The government doesn't pick it, but you and your family sit down and pick it, what you can afford. And after the next segment, we can go over the accusations that it's going to cost $6,000 more money and all that. That's nonsense. And we have to do this because the system is not only underfunded, it's on a pathway to fail right now. And what you're doing, what really angers me, is to use this issue. I'm at the point in my life, in my career, where I can make whatever vote I need to make, and the worst thing can happen to me is I can come back to East Tennessee and play golf badly. So I don't care. I want to fix this problem for future generations, and we have to have an open, factual discussion and get all the rhetoric out of it, because health care is not a Republican or Democrat issue. It's an American issue.
Dr. Rowe, if that is a program that is put in place, obviously the Republicans would have to take over the political power for that to be actually passed. What benefits would that kind of premium support have for seniors, their ability to see their doctor or their health care costs?
Yeah, because SGR goes away. You basically then have the same thing you had the day before. You have a private insurance plan, and you'll have much the same choices as I have today as a federal employee, as a congressman. We have a plan called the Federal Employees Health Benefit Plan, and it's a menu of things every fall that every federal employee goes through and picks out what they want, what they can afford, and buys that. That's exactly what you would do with this. You would have those choices. And the basic Medicare benefit would still be there for anybody who wants to, no matter what their age is. At first, the Ryan plan didn't have that. It had 55 and under, you'd have a different plan. But that's not the case now. We've said, okay, if you're 45 and 20 years later you want to have this same Medicare plan that's available today, that's available to you. I have a feeling that it won't be there because people are going to pick out what best suits their family and their needs, just exactly like they do today on Medicare Part D. That's the plan that has worked so well at holding the cost down. It's the only federal government health plan that's ever come in under budget.
And I hope people heard that. Medicare Part D comes in under budget, and the first and only health care government plan that does. Dr. Rowe, one last question. How does all this impact jobs and the economy, a big issue that many people are worried about right now?
Oh, I think Dr. Carroll has paralyzed the economy. Right now, we had a businessman in the other day in our office, and he went over, he's a franchisee owner, he went over exactly how the Obamacare plan is going to affect his business. It will take 50% of his profit. And what these companies are going to do is they're going to drop their health. First of all, they're not hiring right now because of all the economic uncertainty in this country. And we know, you and I know, that much of these problems in our economy will go away if people had work. If they could get a job, most of them would have health insurance right now. And that's one of the problems we've got right now is the uncertainty out there, overregulation, uncertainty. And I think when you see that go away, once this election's over, businesses will have a better idea about how to plan and how to go forward. But there are many of them. They won't do it initially. And we've talked about this, and the $2,000 penalty for businesses that have over 50 employees are going to pay. Many of them are going to do that. They won't right off the bat. But sooner or later, to save money, that's exactly what they're going to do. And I've talked to plenty of them who said that's what they're going to do from the get-go.
Dr. Rowe, thank you so much for being on with us. I wish we had a lot more time. I hope our listeners go to rowe.house.gov and see some of the things that you have there on your the healthcare portion of your website. Thank you so much for joining us on the Saturday edition of the Dr. Carroll Show.
Thanks for having me.
Really honored. Dr. Phil Rowe from the First District of Tennessee.
You know what? He's just a good fella. We really appreciate him for being on with us. And you know what? He said a lot of good things there. And one thing you didn't address is losing all those jobs that are going to be lost with Obamacare. And you think it's a few folks? It is not. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of jobs going bye-bye with Obamacare.
If the sequestration cuts go in place, as current legislation says, 750,000-ish jobs lost just in the healthcare sector.
Wow.
So lots yet to be done.
You know what? He's one of our favorite people, Dr. Rowe, First District of the great state of Tennessee. He's an OBGYN, a whole lot more. And he was honored this year with an award that, of course, is quite an award that he received. It is the National Federation of Independent Businesses, the Guardian Award, them saying to him, you're a good guy. Thank you for helping us. You know what, Dr. Carroll, this part of the program is brought to you by our friends at Cedar Springs Eating Disorder Treatment Centers. You know, if you don't have an eating disorder, you may not understand how difficult it could be for someone who struggles with anorexia, bulimia, or maybe binge eating. And eating disorders can take over your life and even become life-threatening, can't they?
You don't want to let that happen. That's when our friends at Cedar Springs Austin Eating Disorders Treatment Center can provide some wonderfully amazing help. At Cedar Springs, both men and women, adolescents and adults, get the psychological, nutritional, and other support they need to overcome an eating disorder and really get on with their lives.
You know, folks, if your child has an eating disorder, you as the parent are also having a tough time of it. I mean, I know that. Now, if your spouse or partner struggles with this, you're also affected as well. That's why right now, the people at Cedar Springs offers to you a weekly support group for family members. It could even be by phone. And it's open to anyone with a loved one that's affected by an eating disorder.
So right now, if you're concerned that your son, your daughter, your spouse, your friend, or, you know, maybe even you might have an eating disorder, why not give Cedar Springs a call?
Our good friends, Brad Kennington and his entire staff, they'll answer your questions. They'll help you decide if treatment is right for you or maybe for your loved one. CedarSpringsAustin.com. CedarSpringsAustin.com. You can send them a question right there on their website. They'll be glad to get back to you and talk to you about whether or not you need treatment. Cedar Springs Austin, toll free, 877-755-2244. 877-755-2244.
Most insurance plans accepted, and when you call, be sure and tell them thank you for being part of the Dr. Carroll Show radio program.
We'll take a break. Be back in a minute, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
Dr. Carroll will be back with her guest, medical news highlights for the week, your phone calls, and more at 1-888-5-DR-CARROLL. 1-888-537-2276. We've got a lot more in store, so please stay here.
We'll be right back.
Don't be in the dark about the latest from the medical world. Here is this week's medical news highlights.
You've heard about Alzheimer's and how scary that can be. As frightening and sad as Alzheimer's disease is, sometimes other health issues can mimic Alzheimer's, and some of them may actually be reversible. Autopsy studies show that up to 30% of those diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease may actually have had another problem. Symptoms of confusion, memory loss, and personality changes could be side effects from many commonly used medications. So can depression, vascular problems, and increased fluid buildup in the brain. Make sure your doctor or pharmacist checks all these issues if your loved one may have Alzheimer's. Smokers may get fewer hours of sleep and less restful slumber than non-smokers. Among a few thousand patients evaluated, more than twice as many smokers slept less than 6 hours a night, and about 50% more had disturbed sleep than non-smokers. Researchers believe it is likely the stimulating effects of nicotine disturb sleep. If you smoke and you suffer from sleep problems, it's just one more good reason to get some help to quit. And that's medical news highlights you can use this week.
I want to remind you to join Dr. Carol next Saturday as nationally known author, speaker, and advocate of the 12-Step Recovery Program. Wally P. himself joins in to discuss this brand new book and his effort to return the program to where the whole movement began, as he outlines in his book, Back to the Basics. September is Recovery Month. You'll not want to miss any opportunity at all to hear Mr. Wally P. himself as to how the program works and also join in with your telephone calls. Next Saturday here as Recovery Month is celebrating with Wally P. and Dr. Carol. We hope to talk to you then.
Welcome back. The telephone lines are now open, and Dr. Carol will take your call at 888-5-DR-CAROL. That's 1-888-537-2276. Again, 1-888-5-DR-CAROL. Changing lives, one phone call at a time.
Thank you very much, Tom. Welcome back to the Dr. Carol Show. I'll tell you, first half hour today, Dr. Rowe. And if you happen to miss that, you'll be able to find it on our website under Archives. And that is Dr. Carol Show. DrCarolShow.com. Go there, check out the site if you would, and also sign up for the monthly newsletter, getting ready to come out real soon from Totally Free Ministries and Dr. Carol. Read more about Dr. Carol there too, as well, as this is only our second week here on, of course, XM on Family Talk 131. Here she is on top of Shepherd's Mountain, setting on, of course, here on Shepherd's Mountain, rather, is Dr. Carol.
So glad to be with you on this Saturday on the Dr. Carol program. Step families are a challenge for many. Doing that smart is something that Ron Deal, our next guest, has made it's kind of his major purpose in life at this point. Ron Deal from Smart Step Families is an author and a counselor. Ron, thank you so much for joining us on the Saturday edition of our program today.
Thank you, Carol. It's always good to be with you. How are you today?
Doing wonderful. I know I had an opportunity to read through an advanced copy of your most recent book, Dating and the Single Parent, and I have to say, some of the things really, really impacted my own thinking, and I'll ask you about that in just a moment. But for some of our listeners, I want to let you all know that Ron's latest book is, well, it's in the process of being published now. We happen to have a copy that we can give away to a caller today, Dating and the Single Parent. If you have a question about about step parenting or dating in the single parent, why not give us a call?
You know they can, and you can find out more in this book than you could ever imagine, and you'll find out more probably sometimes than you really want to know but should know, okay? Are you ready to date? Talking with the kids about it, avoiding a big mistake, and finding lasting love. Boy, those are some great questions. It's on Amazon. If you want to do that, you can pre-order the book now. Or, like Dr. Carol said, if we receive a phone call this hour, maybe next hour, we're going to be giving the book away to somebody. So, there you have it. Ron, it's just really good to hear from you again, Panda.
888 888-537-2276, 888-5-DR-CAROL. Ron, how common are step families? Just a word to begin, both in general and then perhaps in the Christian community.
Well, actually, Dr. Carroll, I actually have some new statistics that you get to share with your audience that not many people are aware of. So we haven't even been able to broadcast them through smartstepfamilies.com yet. So that's how new they are.
Okay.
40% of households in America that are couples raising children, right? So married couples raising children, 40% of them are step couples. The children might live in the other home primarily, but every other weekend they're in this home, so they may be part-time step families. Some of them may have children that are already grown and out of the house, but there's definitely a step-parent-step-child relationship involved. Those numbers are really, really impactful, I think, when you stop and you think about how many people that includes.
What's the track record of success among these 40% of families?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the divorce rate for couples in blended families is quite a bit higher than it is for couples in first marriages. You know, we really believe that it's over 60%, more like two-thirds of couples divorce that are in blended families. But you know my heart, Dr. Carroll, and you know that I'm a staunch believer that with the right information and good perspective and skills and tools to know how to manage your family. Part of it is just knowing what's going on with us. You know, what is dragging us down? Where's the stress coming from? Why is this always getting between us as a couple? That when couples have good perspective about that and know what to do about it, that divorce rate comes down dramatically. And we have seen that now for over a decade in the work that I do. It really makes a difference in people's lives. So yeah, the statistics are not exciting. They're not encouraging. And yet, we can really make a difference in people's lives if they just have the right information.
Your brand new book that's on its way out, Dating and the Single Parent, just give us a word about what you try and share in that book.
Yeah, you know, I start the book doing something that I think is kind of interesting. I make a promise to people. All right, and the promise is essentially this, that the book is going to tell you either as a single parent or if you're someone who is dating a single parent. You may not have kids, but you're dating somebody who does have kids, that this book is not going to be a get-rich-quick book. And what I mean by that is I think a lot of us in the mental health field do a disservice to our readers. We tell them what they want to hear. You know, a get-rich-quick book basically says, hey, we know how to make you wealthy, and it's not little risk, right? You're not going to have to do anything, little effort, and no time required. Just buy this or do this, do what we tell you, and you're going to get rich in a short period of time. And we all know that's not the way it works. That's not the real world. But if you're trying to sell an idea, that's what you give to your readers. What I'm not going to do in this book is sell a quick idea. I'm not going to tell people, look, here are three easy steps to building the family and marriage of your dreams. I promise people that I'm not going to do that, and what I am going to do is tell them the truth. And sometimes it's a hard truth, sometimes it's a very encouraging truth, but I want them to understand that wealth is built over a long time. You do have to take some risks. You're not really sure what the end result is going to be, but you have to stay invested for an extended period of time. Same thing is true with building a blended family. If you're going to date well, if you're going to make good, healthy decisions, not only for you, but also for your kids, you're going to have to really put some thought and time and effort into the process. And then it will pay off in the end with wise decisions about marriage and a healthier family. If you make poor decisions, you might just end up heaping on more pain, more heartache onto you, yourself and onto your children, which is one of my big concerns, is that the kids take another hit, right? They don't need any more pain in their life. And so I really want to help people understand what they're doing, manage the process well, and have the courage to make good decisions.
Ron, there was something in your book that struck me, and for step-parents out there, I hope they take this to heart. A marriage bringing two people who love each other, even if they have a great foundation for the two of them, they look at this as a wonderful thing. But they're always, for the children, is an aspect of loss in the creation of a step family. Talk about what's going on with the kids in that sense, that this really is a loss.
Yeah, and, you know, on first blush, when people hear that, it sounds like we're just being really critical and that they should never get remarried, and that's not the point. The perspective is this. Please understand that this is another thing that in your children's lives they didn't necessarily ask for. Now, let me back up and explain that, because I think it's really important that I explain it and people understand it from the child's point of view. Think of it this way. If you're in your car and you're traveling down the highway at a high rate of speed, and all of a sudden there's a curve in the road, they didn't give you a warning, they didn't tell you how sharp the curve was, and you'd go flying off the side of the freeway, right? You roll the car six times. That's, in effect, what happens to a child when a parent dies, when mom and dad divorce. It is a major left turn in their world, major wreck, if you will, in terms of life, and there's no more continuity to life. Their perspective about life has been changed. It is a major loss. They are forever different because of that situation. Now, fast forward life 2 or 3 years. They've been living in a single-parent home, and they finally got some stability back to life again. They're back on the freeway of life, if you will. Now, they're going in a different direction than they were before the incident, but now they're back up on the freeway, and they've kind of got a little speed up. They're maybe not going as fast as they were, but they're, you know, they're still traveling at a pretty good rate of speed, and then there's another curve in the road. And this curve is, hey, guess what, kids? I'm getting married, and you're going to have an instant step-parent and step-siblings, and we're all going to live in the same house together. And what a lot of adults don't realize is, even though that is good news for everybody involved, it's especially good news for the adults, right? You get married because you're falling in love with somebody. It is good news for the kids. Sometimes they love having a stepbrother now that they didn't have before. Sometimes they're excited about having a stepdad in their life. At the same time, though, it is another curve in the road they did not ask for. It is another change in their world, and they didn't necessarily, they weren't in control of it. You were. And you have to consider and realize that that equals another loss in their life. And it's not just one loss. It's really a loss that's been added to another loss on top of that. And so there is a cumulative effect in the life and the heart of a child, which is why sometimes some kids say, you know what, I just don't want this. I don't like this. I'm against this marriage. I don't want this man or this stepmom in my life. I don't want to share my room with these steps. And that's why there's some resistance sometimes from kids, a high level of resistance from some children. Not all kids, but sometimes there is. And it's because loss brings sadness. It brings more change. It brings another disruption to their world. Here's the point. Adults who ignore that end up systematically just walking all over their child, and they really just cause more pain and heartbreak. But adults who sympathize with this, who understand this, they will make better decisions about how they move forward. So, for example, they will not rapidly move through dating into an engagement. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're single parents make is they find somebody, and then 2 weeks later, they're ready to get hitched. Your kids cannot handle that speed and that pace.
Ron,
you've got to slow down for them.
Ron, that seems like it's very similar to what a caller just asked us to ask you about. And Al, you have that question?
I did. Matter of fact, Ron, David called from the Dallas, Texas area. And David was calling about he has lost his wife. And this is a question I know you cover in your new book, Dating in the Single Parent. And David, we're going to go ahead and send this book to you too as well, Putna, because it's a story that I think needs to be told. But, you know, really wanting to know when ready, how ready, and so forth. I don't have all the details on David, but I think what you're covering is probably something. He lost his wife, passed away, and I think he's in that situation of where, what does he do now? You know, where do I turn? So it's a difficult situation, isn't it?
Absolutely, and it's a great question, David, and thank you for calling that in. And again, I used to, when I in my early young years, when I thought I knew everything, I used to tell people, you ought to wait this amount of time, and then you ought to date for this amount of time, and then you ought to be engaged for this amount of time. And, you know, here's what I've learned. life's much more complicated than that. Nobody's wise enough to know every circumstance and every situation and what's needed. So I can't give you and I won't give you timelines, but I will give you process, all right? And here's what I know. You and your children need a extended period of time of grieving over the loss of your wife. I don't care if your kids are 35 and you're in your 60s, or if your kids are 2 years old and you're in your early 20s. You and them need an extended period of grieving. Then you need to start talking to them about, what if I were to start dating? I love the what-if dialogue because it begins to do a couple of things. It sort of readies the children for the reality that, hey, Dad might start dating again, right? That's one thing. But the other thing it does is it gives Dad information. David's going to get to hear from his kids. And again, whether they're 6 or whether they're 16 or 26, they may come back with a, no way, Dad, we don't want you doing that. And then he knows something, right? Yeah, that's the information he needs to help him make some decisions. Or they may come back and go, yeah, well, I don't know, that'd be weird. But the point is, it starts a dialogue where the children are in part of the process. They're not just thrown out the side of the car as we go around the curve. They need to be a part of that process. Then you have what if about I were to date, and then you start dating, and what if I were to see this person for a while? What do you think? How do you feel? The whole point is you move at a pace that includes the kids, not just two adults making decisions and the kids have to jump on board whether they like it or not, but it's in fact like a family dating process. It's a family decision, and then you're bringing them with you. That is far better for the long-term remarried decision blended family outcomes than somebody who just runs over the kids and expects them to jump on board.
I have to say, Ron, I appreciate you saying that this applies whether the children are you know, 2 or 26.
Mm-hmm.
I came in to the family with my husband. We were both adults. He had two boys that were grown, grandchildren already. One was married. One was about to get married when we met. I felt like I had it very easy. And yet there was also a very real period of adjustment, of growth, of affections aligning with the family, even though I came into what I really honestly believe was an ideal situation and the children welcomed me with open arms, it was still a process.
Mm-hmm.
And reading through your book let me understand that the more I was aware of that process along the way, the better I could be a stepmom, actually, even though I had no children of my own. Honey, with your grown boys, when you and I were seeing each other, what were those conversations like?
Well, I remember the first time we told them. It was,
you told them I wasn't there.
Right. It was an interesting interesting reaction. They felt like, well, finally, you're going to do something smart. So I felt, okay, all right. I did ask those probing questions that you said to do, and I didn't know that, but I did it, and it gave me some ground to know the next step that I could go to, and that was very important to me. So I think the advice is absolutely perfect. In our case, it was great. The moment we were married, we got married at our oldest son's house. And his lovely daughter, when we did, he went up and he put his arms around Carol and said, Mom, I love you. And that was it. And from then on, it was great. It's just super. Our situation is tremendous, to say the least.
But, Ron, not every family is that open. Talk about the difference between coupleness and familyness and how sometimes the growth of those two things is different.
I appreciate the question. That's one of the core messages of this book, Dating and the Single Parent. Coupleness does not equal familyness. Here's what I mean by that. Couples often find each other, fall in love, and again, they may use an internet site to connect, and then they begin to date, and they get to know each other extremely well, and they feel like they're a right fit. And that's wonderful. But when you have children involved in your dating process, you're not really just making a decision about coupleness. Can we live together and be married? Can we be committed to each other? That's extremely important. But you also have to be attending to, can we be a family? And will the children come on board? How does the fit seem for the whole family unit? And let me tell you, I'll make a pretty provocative statement here on your show today, all right? I'm a firm believer that you may be a wonderful couple, but if you can't come together around family matters, parenting matters, if you can't see a fit between children and a step-parent or step-siblings, I think you should either delay at a minimum engagement or a wedding and maybe even break up. Mm. because it's just that important to the well-being of the kids and the family unit as a whole. And honestly, you probably will end up one of those divorce stats, all right? And so, for example, familyness. Boy, if you just have, you know, a potential step-parent and a stepchild that just cannot get along, for whatever reason, they are just at odds with one another, you got to slow down the dating process, continue to date slowly, work through that, and if you can't work through that, you may really have to call off a wedding. Now, that's hard for couples to understand, but it's that important.
Ron, you mentioned some research that you had been involved with a few years ago that you referenced in your book about the degree of happiness between a couple before marriage and after marriage when there are children involved. We only have a couple minutes left, but I thought that piece of research was very enlightening.
Yeah, that's from the book, The Remarriage Checkup, that I wrote with David Olson. We did a national survey of couples getting married with children, forming blended families, and here's what we found, that during the dating season, during the dating engagement phase, their couple satisfaction levels were highly tied to what we call dyadic factors. In other words, the two of them as a couple. So how well they communicated, how well their outlook was about life, and how their religious and spiritual beliefs came together, that their couple satisfaction was tied to those things. But after the wedding, there was a dramatic shift, that over the next year or two, their couple satisfaction was more tied to family factors. So parent, step-parent conflicts, step-siblings not getting along, an ex-spouse even who brings a whole lot of stress into your family system, all of that affected couple satisfaction. And see, here's the hard part for dating couples, is you can't see down that far down the road. All you see is, we love each other, we're happy now, this must be right, we got to get married. And one of the cautions we give people is understand that once you get married, how well the family does is really going to dictate how well your marriage does. And it's really hard to see that. Another way to say all this is couples get married because they found somebody they love, but couples get divorced because they don't know how to be a family.
Oh, I wish we had a lot longer, Ron. Ron Deal with Smart Step Families, his brand new book, Dating as a Single Parent. You can find that on Amazon. You can also find the link on drcarolshow.com. Ron, thank you for being with us today, and many blessings in your work and ministry.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Wow.
Yes, you know, wow. I appreciate Ron doing that. And David, we'll get that book out to you, buddy, up there in the Dallas, Texas area. And you know what? We want you to stay tuned to Dr. Carol, 888-5-DR-CAROL. 888-537-2276.
Got this message sent in on our social media from Dennis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we humans can't see that far down the road, but godly love endures. I think that's probably one of the only ways that this can ever work. And I know Ron's heart that step families is often a method where God can bring redemption to very, very hurting people.
Yeah.
Not to limit him in what he can do, but do it smartly. Think these things through as much in advance. And, this book, Dating in the Single Parent, one way to do that.
Does work, doesn't it?
Oh, makes a big difference.
Very good question, especially if you've lost your wife or you've lost your husband even. How long do you wait? What do you do? All that and more covered in Dating in the Single Parent. Are you ready today? Talking with the kids, avoiding a big mistake and finding lasting love. Ron Deal, okay? Dating in the Single Parent, available on Amazon. Pre-order yours today.
Two things on our website I want to let you know about. Coming out in the next few days is the Totally Free Ministries newsletter. Go to drcarolshow.com, click on the Totally Free Ministries logo, input your email address there. We don't share it with anybody. We would love to connect with you that way. And also, you can listen to archives there. If you missed a portion of our program, you can listen there on drcarolshow.com. You can click on the links to Smart Step Families and to Ron Deal's book there under What's New. Coming up next week on the program, it's Recovery Month, all the month of September. Wally P. joins us next month. Wally has been on our program before, a delightful gentleman, and I'm really looking forward to joining us back to basics with the 12-step recovery programs.
That's right. It's drcarolshow.com. We hope to see you there, everybody. Till next week, God bless you on the Family Channel.
May God richly bless you, and until next time, go and live well.
Heaven helped a boy who never had a home. Heaven helped a girl who walks the streets alone. And heaven helped the roses
if the bombs begin to fall. Lord, won't you help us all?
Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns his back away. Heaven help the man.